little over 120 years ago, a songbook was published called Old Plantation Hymns by Barton. It contained many songs going back to the mid-1800s and earlier, songs that demonstrated the great faith of those who sang them and many spiritual insights. One of those songs is included in our own songbook. Number 734 is a song entitled, Were You There? We want to take the title of that song this morning and use it as the title for our thoughts today as we think about the crucifixion of Christ and asking the question, were you there? But the words of the song, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? And as we think about those who were there physically that day, we can draw applications from who they were and what they did to our own Christian lives today and find great spiritual meaning in those who were there, knowing that, yes, indeed, also we were there. Number one, Pilate. Pilate was there. I don't know that he was ever actually in the physical proximity of the cross itself, the execution side of Jesus, but he was there as those events of that awful day unfolded. And the scriptures tell us that Pilate, even as wicked as he was, we know from history, in Matthew chapter 27, we learn that in verse 18, he knew it was for envy the Jews had delivered Jesus to him. Pilate could see through the thinness and the weakness of the accusations the enemies of Jesus were bringing against him. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. Pilate said, he's an innocent man. But the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 27, verse 24, that when Pilate saw that he could not prevail, that he could avail or prevail nothing, but that a tumult, a mob mentality was on its way and rising, then he gave sentence that Jesus should be crucified. Pilate, interestingly enough, knew the truth. Now, he did not have a complete and absolute understanding of it, I guess, like we would define New Testament Christianity, but he was aware that what was going on here was absolutely fabricated. There was no reality, no truth to any of the charges that were brought against Jesus. He understood that Jesus was an innocent man. He knew the truth. Yet, when the tumult, when the mob began to grow, when the pressure began to be on him, he did not have the courage to stand for what he knew was right and for what he knew was true. Pilate allowed public opinion rather than conviction to determine his actions. Were you there? Do we find ourselves like Pilate? Do we know the truth? Do we understand what the truth is? But we don't have the courage to stand for it. We don't have the courage to follow through with it. Because we don't have true moral conviction. Pilate was there, do we find ourselves like him? But another ruler was there, number two, Herod. Luke chapter 23, verse 8 and following. We learn that Herod, when Pilate learned that Herod was in the area, that he sent Jesus over there, and hopefully Herod would be able to deal with this. And Herod was excited that Jesus appeared before him. Again, he had no true, deep, real interest in the accusations being made against Jesus, although he heard them. That was not what he was about. He had no serious approach to any of the proceedings that were going on right before him. But he had heard of Jesus, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 23. And for a long time he had wanted to see him, because the text tells us in Luke 23 he wanted to see some miracle done by him. You see, to Herod, Jesus was a showman. It was all about sensationalism. It was all about entertainment. And that's all that he wanted. And yet the text tells us Jesus did not answer Herod anything. And Jesus stood before his accusers and stood before Herod completely silent. And so Herod dismissed him and sent him back to Pilate. But he was there. Again, not actually at the physical location of the cross. He would never have gone there. But he was there. You see, he was one of those, like some even today, the gospel, the preaching of salvation, the message of the cross, the story of redemption, the story of Jesus, is nothing more than just something sensational. Nothing more than just a good story. Nothing more than just entertainment. And if I cannot be entertained, if my senses cannot be brought up to some kind of level of excitement, then it really means very little to me, and I'll just send it on my way. Herod was one of those who regarded Jesus, the message of Jesus, and ultimately the teachings of the gospel as just something that if it doesn't please me, if it doesn't excite me, if it doesn't do anything for me, then it means nothing to me. And I'll go somewhere else and find someone else or something else that will entertain me. Herod was there. Are we there with him? Number three, Simon of Cyrene was there. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 27 that because Jesus could not physically bear the cross to the side of the execution, the text tells us that as they came out, they compelled Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross. You see, the Roman soldiers had the clout and the authority to do that. They could compel anyone they wanted, particularly those who were not Roman citizens, to do anything that they said needed to be done. In this case, to expedite the execution and to make things move along the way that they needed to move along, Simon just happened to be standing there, passing through, and they grabbed him and they said, "You carry it, you take it there." And so Simon of Cyrene, a man who goes down in history as one who carried the cross of Jesus from the point where Jesus could apparently no longer carry it to the actual site of the cross and the execution to Golgotha, Simon is one who bore the cross of Jesus, but only because he was compelled to. They made him do it. He was forced to carry the cross of Jesus. To some today, carrying the cross of Jesus, and we may remind ourselves that Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 9, Mark chapter 8, that we must take up the cross and follow after him. Luke 9 tells us we must take up the cross daily and follow after him. But to some, carrying the cross is a task, a chore. We do not do it out of love. We do not do it out of commitment. We do it because we have to. We do it because we are compelled to. We do it because someone else has made us do it. And we are compelled, not of our own volition, our own choice, not out of compassion, not out of commitment, not out of love, but simply because we are forced to do it. Simon of Cyrene was there. Were we with him? Fourth, the soldiers at the cross who cast lot for Jesus' garments. The Bible tells us that they were there, Matthew chapter 27, verse 35, and they crucified him, speaking of Jesus, and parted his garments, casting lots. The text further tells us that for the tunic of Jesus, that they cast lots for it by itself rather than to divide it up or to cut it up into pieces, because it was a woven garment and apparently very intricately made and very special. It was quite a treasure apparently for one of those soldiers. And so they said, this is a winner take all when we cast the lots for this one. And they sat there at the foot of the cross and they divided up the garments of Jesus, like they had done so many other times with so many other people who had been crucified. To them, to those soldiers who were there, the crucifixion meant nothing more to them than the gain of a few new pieces of clothing. A few new garments. Today, some see Jesus. Some see the gospel. Some see the cross as only an opportunity to receive something materially. There are opportunities, obviously, that Christians have to give and to receive of a material nature. We help and we bless one another when someone is in need. And yet there is a mindset, there's an attitude among some that it's only about what I can receive. It's only about what I can get. It's only about what Jesus has to offer. Not anything that I have to give, not anything that I have to do, not any sacrifice that I have to make. It's all about what can I gain? What can I get? And it does not matter who has to suffer for me to receive. It does not matter that the Lord hangs there on the cross dying. If I can take something and I can receive something, I will. The soldiers, they were there. Were we there with them? Number five, there were those who mocked him. In Matthew chapter 27, we begin reading at verse 40 through 43, that there were the enemies of Jesus who mocked him as they stood there at the cross. They had hated Jesus. They had brought him to this point. They had satisfied their own desires and lust and grab for power. And now they had received the payment in full, they thought, for what their selfish will had desired. And so now they stood there at the cross of a dying man, and they mocked and ridiculed him. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 27 that they said to Jesus, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross and we will believe you." They said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him." He trusted in God. Let God deliver him now if he will have him, because he said, "I am the Son of God." And you hear the gall. And you hear the arrogance. And you hear the mocking. And you hear the ridicule. As they said these horrific words to Jesus. Today, there are those who hear the story of Jesus. And they hear of the cross. And they hear of the great love of God. And they hear of God. And they hear verses that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And they scoff. And they ridicule. And they mock. And they say there is no God. And if there is no God, he could have no Son. And therefore, there was no cross. And there is no salvation. There is nothing. There is no one divine. There is no power greater than myself. And they mock God. And they ridicule God. And they mock the cross. And they ridicule the Savior who died for them as well, as he suffers and dies on the cross. Those who mocked Jesus, they were there. Were we there with them? Number 6. The women who were at the cross. The women who were at the cross. Matthew chapter 27 verse 55 tells us, "And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him." And so as all these proceedings were unfolding, and as Jesus was had been beaten, as he had been led to the side of the crucifixion, as he had been nailed to the cross, as his body now hung there bleeding and dying, as the soldiers sat there at the feet of the cross, at the foot of the cross, gambling away his garments, as the religious people of the day mocked, wagged their heads, and ridiculed Jesus, the Bible tells us in Matthew 27, verse 55, that there was a group of women standing afar off who loved Jesus, who had ministered to him and followed him faithfully. And now they feel powerless because there's not much they could do. Not only was there little they could do, really, there was nothing they could do. They could not change the circumstances that were unfolding before their eyes. They felt the hurt and the pain and all of the agony that was happening in their presence. But they could do nothing. But they were there. And they were there because they loved Jesus. And they were there, even though they could do little, if anything, they could show their concern, and they could show their care, and they could show their heart. Today, We sometimes feel very limited in what we can do to help others. We sometimes feel very limited in what we can do to help the world, to save the world, to teach the lost. We feel very limited as events unfold before our eyes that are horrific. Events unfold before our eyes that we have no control over. Events that we would desperately wish and want to change if it were within our power, but it's not. And there's little we can do. And many times there is nothing we can do. But we can do this. We can be there out of concern. And we can show love. And we can show encouragement. We may not can change anything. We may not can make it one whit better. But we can weep with those who weep. We can mourn with those who mourn. We can hurt with those who hurt. We can show concern. We can show compassion. We can show heart. The women were there. Were we there with them? Number 7. There was the disciple whom Jesus loved. John 19. Who we understand to be the apostle John. And as John the apostle stood there at the cross, the only disciple who was, the only apostle who was in any close range at all to the cross. As he stood there at the cross, Jesus' mother was also there. And you must remember that there was a family relationship between the family of John and the family of Jesus. And as Jesus hung from the cross, he says to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." But he wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about John, who apparently stood next to Mary. And then to John, he says, "Behold thy mother." And the text tells us in John chapter 19 that from that day forward, John took her into his own home and he cared for her. And so John the apostle, John the relative of Jesus, John the faithful follower of Jesus, was someone who was there, right there. And he was someone that Jesus knew he could depend on. He was someone that Jesus knew was faithful. He was someone that Jesus knew he could trust. Today, does Jesus know he can depend on us? Today, does Jesus know that we will be faithful? Today, does Jesus know that I am someone he can trust? You know, there are people in this world that you just know you can depend on. There are people in this world that, you know, if something needs to get done, if you give the responsibility to this particular person, it'll get done. Does Jesus know that about me? Does he know it about you? Does he know it about us? Does Jesus know that I'm someone he can depend on? I'm always going to be present for the assembly. I'm always going to be involved in the good works of the Lord's kingdom. I'm always going to be one who is willing to give and to help those who are less fortunate. I'm always going to be one who's willing to give and help support the cause of Christ and the spreading and the evangelizing of the gospel. I'm one who can be depended on. I'm one who can be trusted. I'm one who's going to be faithful. John was there. Am I there? Am I trustworthy, faithful, and dependable? But one more, an eighth one who was there that we read about in Matthew chapter 27, and that is the centurion. When Jesus died, in Matthew chapter 27, and all of these events unfolded, and the Bible tells us that when you put all the parallels together, that they stabbed Jesus side with a spear, and water and blood ran out. And there was cataclysmic environmental events that were happening as Jesus died. And finally he cried out and he died. And Matthew chapter 27 verse 54, it said there was a centurion who was standing there as part of the delegation of the executioners. And when all of this happened, this centurion, not a disciple, not a Jew, a Roman centurion who most likely was a pagan, his analysis of the whole event was, truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, he says, this was the Son of God. He recognized something special about Jesus. But sadly, not during Jesus' lifetime, at Jesus' death. Now we know as the story continues to unfold, Jesus will come from the grave and rise from the dead, and he will live again. But at this moment, for this man, Jesus was dead. And there's no indication anywhere in the Scripture that this centurion ever followed up on anything else about Jesus. There's certainly no indication anywhere in Scripture that he ever obeyed the gospel, that he ever turned from sins and was immersed in the name of Jesus and added to the church. You would like to think that he did, but we simply do not know. And there's certainly no indication that it ever happened. And so as we make application of that for today, there are many, many people who freely and publicly acknowledge their belief in the truth. They freely and publicly acknowledge their belief that the Bible is the Word of God. They acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. They acknowledge that there is a God. But even though they acknowledge all these things, as admirable as that is, as noble as that is, they never do anything about it. They never follow up on the belief that the Bible is the Word of God. They never follow up that the belief that they have that Jesus is the Son of God. They never follow up that there is a supreme God who needs to be listened to, believed, and obeyed. They know it. Perhaps they even believe it. But they never act on it. That centurion was there. Were we there with him? Are we there with him even now? And in all of these eight analysis of these people, individuals and groups of people who are around the cross, the noble and the not so noble, the believers and the unbelievers, Somewhere in there, all mankind can be found. Every human being, somewhere, lies in one of those categories. And as you have heard this brief discussion and study today, where have you found yourself? Were you there? Let's just answer that with what we already know if we at least believe the Bible. Yes. Yes, we were there. But who are you? What did you do when you were there? We're still there. What will you do? How will you respond? Who are you as Jesus hangs on the cross as I am there? Who am I as I stand at the cross of the bleeding, dying Savior? Who am I? If you need better answers than the one you're coming up with, let us help you. Let us study with you. Let us lead you in the Word to where we can all find ourselves where we need to be in the salvation and grace of Jesus by hearing, believing, and obeying the gospel. This morning, would you come as we stand and we sing?
Lord Jesus.